You are listening to the YLM Sermon of the Week podcast with Pastor Steve Tolbert. Be blessed and refreshed by this relevant word from the Lord.
So, this particular message is a continuation of what I started talking about on Wednesday. And I noticed that I've been having technical issues trying to get this message out, because the Lord has revealed to me that within this time period that we're entering into, because many of you know, in a natural, we've entered into what's called autumn or fall. And so as we change seasons in the natural, the Lord has let me know that seasonal depression and anxiety is something that's trying to grip the hearts and minds of people. And so I've been tasked with preaching a message and teaching a message to help people to arm themselves with the Word of God and do battle against this. Because when you think about warfare, and the Lord highlighted this to me this morning, that when you think about warfare, and we think about Ephesians 6, and it talks about the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Now, you notice that from the enemy's standpoint, he's launching fiery darts, right? But for the Christian, they're supposed to have the sword of the Spirit. See, that's because the Lord doesn't want us to do battle from afar. He wants us to actually do close combat. Because that word sword of the Spirit is a short sword that's made for close hand-to-hand combat. And so you can't allow the devil to keep firing from a distance and you not go up and take his territory. And so we're going to take some territory because the enemy thinks he's got us fooled. He thinks he's got some trap set for people. He thinks he's going to take you down with the same old depression that you feel that comes when the fall comes. You don't understand why you feel this heavy feeling on you when the seasons change. But the Lord said that the enemy has tried to set a trap against your mental health and see if you're not aware of his devices. Because the Lord tells us that we ought to be aware of the enemy's devices. We ought to be aware of the enemy. We're not going to stick our head in the sand and act like it ain't happening. But we're going to actually see him from afar off, and then we're not going to stay from afar, but we're going up close, and we're going to jab him. And so that is very important to understand what God is doing and what he's saying in his times and seasons, because the body of Christ needs to be prepared. And so we understand with anxiety, as I talked about, how it means to be pulled in two different directions. See, in the scripture tells us in James that what? A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So the enemy tries to come at you and make you unstable and pull you in multiple directions. Anybody understand that? And anybody ever experienced where you're just like, I don't know why I feel like I'm just so exhausted and I haven't really done anything. But mentally, you've been pushed in too many directions. You're thinking about your finances. You're thinking about your family. You're thinking about what's for dinner tonight. Like, you're pulled in multiple different directions. You can never be focused on the moment. Because, see, if you're focused on a moment, then you're able to see what God is doing in your life. And see, the enemy doesn't want you to understand the good things that God is bringing so you can be grateful and praise him. That's right. He wants you to be distracted with all the problems. But on Wednesday, what did we say? When we focus on God, what happens? We focus on his power instead of our problems. And see, the songs that have been sung on this morning by the praise team highlight the greatness of God. It don't highlight your problems. Because, see, when you enter his gates, the scripture says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. But I can't be thankful if I'm not thinking about him. And so this morning, we're going to talk about transforming your fear into faith. And so our scripture comes from Philippians 4, verse 6 to 7. And it reads like this: don't worry about anything. But in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so the one thing we need to understand is we need to, one, we acknowledge that they're problems, right? But what we do is we decline our problems a place of influence. Which is why 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your cares on him because he cares for you. And so when we talked about that word casting on Wednesday, what did we say about casting? That means to transfer your problems from you to God. All right? That's what it means to say cast. And so in casting our cares, we're saying, God, I identify that there are fears or anxieties, things that are trying to hold me back. But I'm not going to deal with them myself. I'm going to give them to you and let you deal with them. Because, see, when we focus on our problems, all of a sudden our life gets worse. Our situation gets deeper. It gets harder for us to see our way forward. But when we transfer or focus, shift our focus to God's power, then what we're saying is, God, there's nothing too hard for you. It may be too hard for me, but it's not too hard for you. But then when I focus on you, all of a sudden, it gets easy for me too. And so your cares, again, are your burdens. They're the things that weigh you down. And so in Philippians 4:6-7, it says, don't worry about anything, because worry is emotional turmoil, all right? But pray about everything, or through prayer and petition with thanksgiving. So that word prayer, it means intimate communication with God. And so when I pray, I don't think that God is going to reject me. See, we've experienced so much human rejection to where we think that God is going to do us the same way. He's going to do us dirty. But God is not going to reject it. He says, come close to me. Come in. Lean in. Lean into me. Lean into my presence. Lean into what I have for you. Lean into my plans for you. So he says, in everything, through prayer and petition, let your requests be made known to God. And so that petition, that word request or petition, it means my needs. So God, in Matthew, he said what? The Father knows every single thing that you need. Even before you ask it, he already knows it. But see, sometimes God needs us to be transparent. Because sometimes we think we got it all together. We think we don't need anything, but everybody else needs everything. So we'll be the ones that give out and everybody else. But even those that stand behind this pulpit need to actually be in a position of receiving. If we're always trying to do, and that's one thing that the woman of God during a prayer summit gave me a word, because she noticed I'm always running around doing stuff. I wasn't just sitting receiving, because the prayer summit was for me too. It was for me to receive from God, but instead of me receiving from God, I was busy doing everything else. I was busy trying to make sure this was right, that was right, this was right. And I wasn't receiving anything. So the Lord gave her a word to me and said, you need to sit down and receive. Because see, if I'm always giving, then I will never have anything to give. And so we need to be in a position to receive. And so God knows our needs. And then it says the peace of God. So that is a state of tranquility or wholeness that can only come from God. It can't come from drugs, can't come from alcohol, can't come from any other thing that you would try to substitute for the Lord. Those other things have a temporary effect that only cause you to want more. Why do you think people become addicted to cigarettes? Because one makes them feel good, but then they want to keep on feeling good all day long. Why do you think people actually become alcoholic? Because that is the only time where they feel like they don't have any cares or worries. But see, there is a peace that comes from God that is not temporary, but it is permanent. And so it says the peace of God which surpasses all understanding, because we don't, in our natural mind, we don't understand how his peace can last so much, how I can be going through a storm and still be at peace on the inside. You can go through a storm on the outside, but still be in peace on the inside. When Pastor C was sharing her praise report and Sister Brown was sharing her praise reports, they talked about circumstances that were external. But how their internal state showed them that they could have peace in knowing that God would heal, God would provide, God would actually calm the storms in other people. So the peace of God, which transcends understanding, that permanent peace that comes from God, will guard. It will be a protector. It will, that's what that word guard means. It means that it will protect or keep watch over. Psalm 121 says what? He that keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleep. So while you may be sleeping, God is still awake. So while you may be sleeping, God is still awake doing things behind the scenes to work it out for you. So it says that peace will guard my heart and my mind. It will watch over. So the peace of God is watching to see if any other demonic disruptors will come and try to disrupt my peace. And it says, stop here. Why? Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, then the Spirit of the Lord will what? Lift up a standard. So the Spirit of the Lord is like this. You can't come near them. This is off limits, off bounds, outside a protective barrier for my people. I'm watching over. God is watching over you. And so we need to make prayer a daily priority. Just like we set time and we know we gotta, before we go to work, we gotta get our Dunkin' Donuts or our Starbucks. Before you get your Dunkin' Donuts or your Starbucks, start out with some prayer. Seek His guidance. Seek His guidance and His strength for your challenges before they come. Sometimes we got to stop being reactionary and reacting to the crisis, thinking that prayer is only limited to a crisis. So I'm gonna have prayer as my 911 button, and when I get into a punch, boom. But before that, I'm acting like I'm good. You need to seek His guidance and His strength before a challenge comes. I remember a particular time period in my life. I was about 18 years old, and I'm walking and going through some things, and the Lord said to me, He said, you need to learn from this season that in the good seasons, you have to store up for yourself so that when the bad seasons come, you have something to withdraw from. Some of us are operating from savings accounts in a deficit. The next thing we need to learn how to do is meditate on God's word. Psalm 119 verse 105 says this, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light for my path. And so we need to fill our minds with scripture, because scripture transforms our thinking and helps us to combat fear with faith. God's word is a source of truth that provides clarity and hope. Have you ever been going through something in which you can't see a clear way through this? The fog of the situation has your vision hindered. But then when you get into the Word of God, all of a sudden the light comes on and you can see the path forward. It may still be a little bit foggy, but you know there's a clear way forward. If I keep pressing through, this is just mist. I can move through mist, but I can't allow the mist to keep me from my destination. Why do you think that there's lighthouses? There's lighthouses because as ships would go and they would travel in the night or in the dense fog, they would still need to know that land is still ahead. Don't stop where you are. And so the lighthouse, it would shine a light. It would shine a light perpetually so that they knew that land was only within reach. The closer you got, the brighter the light got. And so fill your mind with God's word. So that word lamp means that God gives us guidance in dark times. And then light means that God grants us understanding, all right? Even those times where we say, God, I don't understand what's going on. Well, God says that when you get into His word, all of a sudden you have guidance and you have understanding to know what you ought to do. Sometimes God is telling you, stand still. Don't do nothing. Don't make a move yet. Because I'm working on something. Don't make a move yet. And see, sometimes in our agitation, we're so quick to move. We're like, okay, I'm just going to quit. But God could say, if you weather this season, if you weather the season, promotion is coming. And see, some of us have missed out on promotions because we quit, thinking that quitting was our answer, but then our problem followed us to the next place. And so you need to choose a verse that directly speaks to your fear or your turmoil. Meditate on it throughout the day, allowing it to penetrate your heart and your mind. Then you need to declare God's promises. So you get it in your heart and your mind, but then you need to speak it out. And Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. And the King James says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when you hear, or it says having heard, it says that I have to receive God's truth. I have to receive God's truth when God is giving it, all right? And then that message that helps us understand that faith is activated through the personal engagement with God's word. And so when we look at this, we need to identify key promises in the word of God. That's why you can't just read, you got to study. You got to study. And so you got to identify. Once you study, you begin to identify key promises, and then they resonate. As you read them, they resonate within. It's just something about that word that, yes, this is for me right now. And so as you identify it, then what you do is you begin to speak it out loud. Speak it out loud. I remember seeing somebody on TV, and they were drowning. And see, nobody could hear them at first because they weren't saying nothing. They were just struggling, trying to stay afloat. But then when they said something, all of a sudden they could actually get rescued by the lifeguard. Some of you are in situations where you're flapping your limbs, and flapping your limbs ain't doing nothing but causing you to go down further into the water. But then when you say his word, all of a sudden, because what? The scripture tells us that the angels heed to the word of the Lord. And so your angels, which are given to you in Hebrews, it tells us that the angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister unto those that are the heirs of salvation. Who's the heirs? You're the heirs. But those angels can't move until they hear God's word. And so you speak it out loud because there's incredible power in speaking God's word out loud. When you declare his promises, you are not only reminding yourself of his faithfulness, but you also proclaim his truth into the atmosphere. Consider saying something like, I'm not afraid because God is with me. His presence surrounds me every day. That's Psalm 23. Psalm 23. See, a lot of us look at Psalm 23 like, oh, that's a little preschool song. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And we see the picture of the little lambs and the little shepherd on the little hook, you know, follow. But it's much more powerful than that. And so when we're going through the valley, all right, when we're going through the valley, even though I go through the valley of death, notice he says, I'm going through the valley of death. See, you only die in the valley when you forget you're supposed to go through and not camp. Come on. And so he says, God is with me. He says, I won't fear any evil, any danger that may come. I won't fear because I know that you are with me. God said that he would never leave us nor forsake us. So that means that God is always with you, even when you don't feel it. See, faith needs to go beyond our feelings. See, if we limit our faith to our feelings, then we'll be like a light switch, on and off. But see, when we understand that our faith must transcend and go beyond our feelings, then we'll stay in faith when the sun is shining and when the sun is not shining. Because it said, the just shall live by faith. Then once you get those scriptures and begin to speak them out loud, start to create a list of those scriptures as a confession. Develop a personal confession list of scriptures that speak to your situation. This can include promises about peace, provision, healing, and protection. And then make it a habit to read these confessions every morning or at times when you feel fear or doubt creeping in. And so what do they tell you to take as you get older, especially? They tell you take your vitamins, right? So these scriptures now become your new supplements. See, when you worry about provision, you can say, He is Jehovah Jireh. He's the God that provides for me. His grace is sufficient. Yeah, His 555 grace is sufficient for me. That means that God is coming through for you. He's coming through for you what? In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. And so He's coming through with His grace. And when you feel fear, you need to confess His strength that He gives us in His Word. Then for some of us, we're visual learners. And so create some visual reminders around your house. Maybe you need to stick it on the fridge knowing you're going to go in there for your midnight and midday and second time snack. Create some visual reminders in the places that you commonly visit. Even put it on your mirror so that as you look at it, you're looking at yourself in God's Word. See, we need to change our perspective. And this morning as I was leaving the house, God said that we need to get a view from the top. I remember going on in the tallest building in the world, the Burj Khalifa. And as you go into that building and you look down, you know when you're down there, everything is big. But then all of a sudden, even the cars look like this, like little micro machines. It's all about perspective. See, when it's like this, I feel like I can step all over it. But when it's like this, I'm like, well, I need help. And so in the spirit, we need to change our perspective and realize that God's Word helps us to get a view from the top. Because in Ephesians, what does it tell us? It tells us that we're seated with Him in where? And so if I'm seated with Him in heavenly places, then I am not looking at things from eye level. I'm looking down where He is, where the devil is. He's under my feet. He's down there. He's not here. I remember during my teenage rebellious days, you get tall and you think, you know, I'm going to menace them because I'm taller than them now. And so the devil had me fooled. And so there'd be times where I step to him eye to eye. Thinking, I'm going to intimidate you because I'm your height now. Right? Now, you've heard him say it before. Don't make me take off my glasses. When I tell you I hit the floor so hard, and then, Miss, I smell blood, she got a left hook that would rival Muhammad Ali. But see, they put me in my place. And so that's what we need to do to the enemy when he tries to stand eye level with us. We need to put him in his place. You got to remind him that he is not equal with me. He is lower than I am. And so I need to put him in his place. But how can I do that? With the Word of God. And then the other thing we need to do is we need to actually pray with boldness. Come on. Stop praying like well, God, I hope you do this for me. Now, as you're starting to get into the Word of God, now you're starting to see exactly what He wants for you. And you're like, wow, really? God wants that for me? He wants me to live in peace? God wants me to be healed? God wants me to walk in? What? Yeah, He wants that for you. He wants better for you than you want for yourself. Which is why Ephesians 5:20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So that means that you asking for Uber, God is saying, I got a car for you. You asking for God, help me pay my rent. God is saying, home ownership belongs to you. And so we need to understand God's promises are better for us than we think. And so we pray with boldness. And so when we pray with boldness, we incorporate these declarations into our prayer, and we pray things like, I can do all things. I thank you, Father, that your word says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13. I declare that I am capable and empowered by your spirit. I am qualified for every task. And so when we do that, then we're saying our heart is in alignment with God's promises. Because again, remember, we're changing our focus from our problems to His power. See, and during this time, that's what the enemy is trying to get you to do, focus on a problem. He's trying to say, look, see, things, the economy is getting worse. Look at the news report. Look at this layoff that just happened. Look at this company that just shut down or acquired bankruptcy. That's why sometimes you need to stop scrolling through your news feed. Because, see, there's a lot of fake news in there. A lot of us have been looking at this stuff, and we're like, oh, my gosh, let me send this to such. And it's fake news. It's fake news. And so the next thing we need to do now is we need to live a lifestyle of gratitude. In 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it tells us, give thanks in everything, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so gratitude, it shifts our focus from what is wrong in our lives to what God has already done. God has already done it. When He hung on a cross and He said, it is finished, that means that it is paid in full. You don't owe a balance. You don't owe a balance. You don't deserve problems. Because it has been paid in full. And so it shifts our lives and our minds to what God has already done, and it leads us to peace because we're resting in what is finished. Then we need to learn how to step out in faith. So faith requires action. And James 2, verse 17 tells us what? In the same way, faith, if it does not have works, that word works means corresponding action. Corresponding action. So I can't just be like, you know, I'm too blessed to be stressed, but then I'm stressed. I can't be saying the offering confession, but then you be like, hey, how you doing? Man, I'm broke. Your faith has to have corresponding action. And so you need to take steps towards your faith goals. So if you're believing to open or establish your own business, what are you doing practically to make steps towards your faith goal? Are you learning about business strategy? Are you learning about how to actually handle a budget as a business owner? Because it's different when you It's different from the W-2 lifestyle. It's different. Because, see, W-2 lifestyle, you know, on the second Friday of every month, every 2 weeks, I'm going to get this. But then when you're a business owner, if you don't go out the house one day thinking, well, I don't got no appointments on the book, so I got free time, so I'm just going to watch Netflix and binge on a series until, you know, and then you'd be like, oh, man, how come I'm not getting any business? What are you doing actively? Even savings, right? Like, we want to save $1,000. But yet, every time you get money, you spend it. What are you doing practically toward? And then you say, well, my God shall supply all my needs. But see, the thing is that God will not work with you if you're not working with him.
Right.
See, and a lot of times we think that because it's finished and all that, that God absolves us of any responsibility, any of accountability for our actions. That's not true. That's why we need to be practical about our faith. We can't just be pie in the sky, but we have to be realistic and practical about our faith and then make practical steps towards our faith goals. And so there's a stat that says that 70% of people feel stressed about daily life. The American Psychological Association says this, that 70% of Americans report feeling stressed about daily life, indicating a widespread struggle with fear and anxiety. And so we need to, this highlights and underscores the idea that we need to move from fear to faith. We need to work with God and understand and realize all the things that God has given us, all the resources that God gives us to feed our faith, which is why you see the ad for our mobile app. Because inside that mobile app, there are resources, there are messages, there are blog posts that will help you to feed your faith. There are even faith confessions in there.
That's right.
Have you explored it? It's just like having a benefit packet, you know, and then you're like, man, I'm hurt, my side hurting and all this, but do you realize you got medical insurance? That medical insurance covers the doctor's visit. A lot of people, I knew a person that they were paying into medical insurance, but they weren't using it. And then one day they're like, oh man, my neck hurts. And I'm like, you realize chiropractic care is in our medical insurance policy, right? They're like, really? But see, there are a lot of people that are stressed out, that are living way underneath their privilege because they don't know what's in the benefit booklet. Because it's such a big book, and I don't like reading big books, so let me use Audible, or let me use one of the other apps that read to me. But there's something to be said about you going into these pages. See, I'm all for technology. I'm pro technology. But see, there's an element to our modern lifestyle that shows that we as human beings have become too reliant on technology. When it comes to that, you can't read a scripture unless your verse of the day pops up a notification in your phone. That's a problem.
Yeah.
That means that internally, you have no real desire to grow in God. You just want somebody to spoon feed you. But see, in our talking about our Vision Sunday, the one thing that you would have gotten from that is the fact that we're going to teach you how to feed yourself. How to cook your own meals. Where if you're on a bus with somebody and they talking about, you know, oh, I don't know why this is going on, you're going to be able to get a word for them. You're going to be able to get a word and preach them a quick 2-second sermonette from the scriptures and leave them revived and seeing their way forward. See, we have to begin to see the value within ourselves and the fact that our church, remember, this is our church, right? So our church will only thrive as each person sees their own intrinsic value and the fact that I need your gifts just as much as you need my gift. So if I come up to you one day with a human-sized straw trying to receive, Don't be alarmed. I'm just trying to receive what God has put in you. So, Lord, we thank you for this lesson. We thank you that we're moving from fear to faith. We're embracing your peace over turmoil, and we declare victory over defeat. We trust in your promises, God, knowing that you're with us every step of the way. God, we thank you that we're going to march boldly into this week with renewed faith, renewed hope. We're going to resist the devil at every turn, and we're going to put him in his place, which is under our feet. God, we praise you and we thank you for your great and precious promises that show us that we're more than conquerors, that show us that you're making all things work together for our benefit. Even though it don't look like it on the surface, you're behind the scenes working it out for us. So God, we thank you that we're working with you. We're not going to sabotage you, but we're going to work with you, God. And we're going to get into your word like never before. We thank you, we praise you right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Perhaps there's a person, that you have been in this faith fight.
Join us for weekly services at 11:30 each Sunday morning. Our location is 225 North 8th Street in Kenilworth, New Jersey. Every Wednesday morning from 5:30 a.m. to 5:45 a.m. join us for corporate prayer. Our call-in number is 716-427-1096 and the access code is 172268#. Every Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. join us for Spread the Bread Bible study as we dive into the Word of God. Stay connected and grow in your faith with our mobile app. It's available in the Apple App Store and Google Play Store today.
On behalf of myself, Pastor Steve Talbert, my wife, Melissa Talbert, our senior leaders, Apostle Willie Talbert, Apostle Mamie Talbert, and the entire Yes Lord Ministry Church family, I want to thank you for joining us and say welcome home.